Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us on the John Schuster-Cole Banker Hotline, he's been on this show many times, from the Minnesota's spokesman, recorder. That will be Charles Holman. But Charles Holman tonight, an hour from now, 9 p.m., will be featured on the Fox 9 News. And I wonder why. Maybe I know why, but I'm going to let him explain why he's going to be featured. First off, Charles, you're out of town. Let everybody know where you're at right now.
I'm in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, which is where the University of Alabama plays. It's cited, but I'm at Stillman College. I'm at the HBCU Athletic Conference basketball tournament, men and women. HBCU Athletic Conference is the only all-black conference in the NAIA. So there's 13 teams for the men, 13 teams for the women. This is day three for me, and the championship games will be on Sunday. So I'm having a lot of fun. They've been here before. It's good competition. Four games a day, basically, and it's been good games. Good game. There's three Minnesota players, that's kids that are here playing on one of the teams. So I got a chance to talk with them, and it's been fun. Really, it's been fun. It's been exciting. I'm the only Minnesota, only Northern grader here. So I've been treated like a king, so to speak. So.
You living the high life right now, man. You living the high life right now. Well, for the listening audience out there, 9 p.m. tonight on Fox 9, you're going to be featured with regards to, I think the person that may have done the story on you was Ahmad Hicks, right?
Correct.
All right, so give me a little bit of some behind the scenes. What are we going to be looking at an hour from now?
Well, he came to watch me coach at South, so he talked to me before our game, and then they filmed half of the game watching me and had me mic'd up, so I had to bite my tongue many times during that game. Then they filmed me covering a Gopher game, and they did a sit-down interview with me as well and talked to several of my players, so. It's really a nerving kind of thing.
Basically, it was a day in the life of Charles Holman, to be honest with you.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know why I was asked to do this. And when I asked Mr. Hicks why, he told me that I'm a legend. I said, well, people been lying to you.
Nah, he ain't been lied to, man. He ain't been lied to. I think it's awesome, man. You deserve all the flowers that you're getting, that you've gotten and still will continue to get. You know, just a couple of years ago at the Women's Final Four, you got your flowers, became a Hall of Famer. I like that we do that, man, just because we should always show respect and appreciation for the people that do a damn good job at really, you know what I'm saying, putting in the work.
Well, I'm a worker bee, Henry. I even told Ahmad that ethic was built in me from my parents and my uncle, who all three raised me, and we didn't do it for show. We did it because it's supposed to be done, and so therefore I get somewhat uncomfortable when people start saying I'm this and I'm that. Even down here, the commissioner of the conference, who I've gotten to know over the years, she's bragging about, I'm a legend, I'm a Hall of Fame. I just want to do the job. I just want to be a reporter. I want to cover games, talk to people, interview people, get around. And, you know, when people talk about me, that makes me feel a little uncomfortable because I don't do that. I don't promote myself. I just do the work. And hopefully one day I'll get that crown of glory that I'm striving for when I get to heaven. But that's all I want right now.
I hear you, man. I hear you. We're talking to Charles Holman from the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder here on the Lake Show on News Talk 830 WCCO. A nice piece we'll hear about him and his kind of day-to-day, a day in the life of Charles Holman, watching him be a reporter as well as a coach. And that's something that we haven't talked about that much here on your time on the show throughout the last couple of years because, you know, I'll talk to you about Gopher basketball, both on the men's side, women's side, Gopher football, whatever it is, all things sports, Timberwolves. But let people in on, like, your basketball background because you've been a basketball coach for a long time.
Yeah, I have. Sometimes too long. Sometimes. I've been coaching at South. This is my 30th year at South High School, which is the longest I've ever been at any school. And I've been a head coach at three different schools. And been basically coaching high school basketball. I coached grade school a few years. And then I also done park board. And I coached summer league ball. And I worked basketball camps over the year. I enjoy what I'm doing. I enjoy working with the kids. We just finished our season. My team, which I'm a ninth grader. I coach a ninth grade team. We just finished our season tonight. We finished a record 22-4. And that I never won that many games ever. So
that's congratulations, man.
yeah, we finished second in the conference. We lost to North twice. So North finished undefeated. We finished second. So, and I keep telling people, last year my team only won six games. So, to win 20 any level is good. But we won 21. 22 games, and then we only lost one game outside of conference. So I'm very happy with these kids. I thought we worked really hard. The kids really bought into what we're trying to do this year. They wanted to win. They wanted to play hard. And we didn't get blown out very often. The four losses that we had, it was close losses. And we blew out some teams, but we also played some close games, too. So it was fun. I'm glad the season's over with, and now that's one less thing I got to do.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you think in the long run things look this year for South?
Well, we knew it was going to be a rebuilding year. We lost eight kids. We had eight singles when that team that went to the tournament last year. So we knew it was going to have some ups and downs. And we finished fourth. We tied with Southwest in the conference. It's just been that kind of year. You know, we have some good games. We have some lousy games. And that's what you have. You have kids that learning how to play as a starter or learn how to play, you know, with players that you haven't done. So, we expected that. And so it's been hard because, you know, some kids think it just carry over from last year. And we kept telling you're not the same team from last year.
Yeah.
Okay, last year's team was a special team, a very special team. We just missed beating Alexandria. But we knew this year was going to be a real struggle. We really lost a lot of leadership off that team from last year. And we, trying to get that back together. So, but the kids been competitive. Kids have worked hard. And we've had our lumps. But the conference has been down this year. You know, there's no world beater out there. So hopefully these kids that played for me, hopefully they can stick, we can stay together and we can be that kind of team in a couple of years. We think we can. Because my kids really want, you know, they really play well together and if they stay together. But you know, Henry, in the city, kids don't want to stay. You know, kids, it's worse than the college, you know. There's no transfer for it. They just transfer.
I like that. That's a good one, man. Ain't no transfer portal. They just transfer. Well, tonight with the piece with you, what's the one thing that you hope people get out of it if they've never met you before?
I hope that they'll see me as a humble person that works for the goodness of our community and working with kids. you know, I want them to be the best they possibly can. Like I said, I don't know to make the peace. And I said 90 to 95% of our kids are not going to play college ball and not going to play pro ball. But they will be good citizens, and I want them to be that. And if they can come away with that experience, that somehow 10 years from now they can look back and say, wow, Coach Harmon taught me this or Coach Harmon taught me that, that'll be good. And then as a journalist, I just keep working. I want people to read my stuff. I only write for one person every week, and if they read it, I'm good. And, you know, what I'm doing here is those three kids I interviewed, they were shocked to see me here. You know, why would somebody from Minnesota come and talk to them? Why? Mm. And I said it, and I was asked the question, why not? Okay?
Yeah.
And so, therefore, I'm featuring them in my story this week, and it's good. You know, it's a challenge for me. I challenge myself every week and every day to get better. I don't live on last yesterday's laurels. I want to get better every day. And so I'm challenged. I've never been to all black conference tournament before, so it's been fun. Really fun to be here with all black people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome, man. That is awesome. And, you know, for me, I need to get back to attending an HBCU event just as a proud Morehouse College grad. It's been too long, and I'd love to be in an event like that.
Oh, it's fun, you know, especially hearing the cheers and, you know, seeing the cheerleaders. The cheerleaders work on rhythm. They ain't like the cheerleaders we see around locally.
He didn't gave the game. Hold on, Chris. Chris, he didn't gave the game away already. Look at him. He didn't gave it. We know why he's down in the dirty South right now. He's giving the game away. Oh, Charles.
You had me at dirty, man. You had me at dirty.
Oh,
but
man.
It's fun. Oh, the food. The hospitality is great. You know that. You would spend time in the South. People have been treating me very well since I've been here. I haven't had any complaints from anybody. I mean, in terms of, you know, if I asked for something, I got it done. You know, they helped me out. They showed me places and stuff like that. So I really appreciate that. Because I've never been in this part of Alabama before. So it's been fun to walk around campus and seeing the things and talking to people and getting the history of what's going on. And then I think, you know, I have that kind of personality, so to speak, that people like to talk to me, you know.
Yeah.
So it's not, you know, I talked to the official tonight, and I got some information from him that he probably wouldn't share with anybody else. I'm not going to put in a story, but just, you know, just I want to know, hey, how many games you working? You know, that's 4 games a day. You know, that's a lot of games. And over a course of a week, that's a lot of games that have to work. He told me he's working 5. I say, oh, wow, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Especially when nobody comes to see you play. Nobody comes to see you play. You just blowing a whistle.
Exactly. That's funny. Well, hey, Charles, man, hey, be safe down there. Enjoy the rest of your trip. And I know that the people out there in the listening audience will be paying attention to the Fox 9 News at 9 o'clock tonight.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I haven't seen it neither, so I'm looking forward. They're supposed to send me a clip later on tonight so I can see what it looks like. So I'm looking forward to seeing it, too. I want to know if they got my best side.
I'm sure it does. All right, be well, my friend.
You too, Henry. Thanks for calling. I appreciate
right.
it.
Yep, take care. All right, that's Charles Holman from the Minnesota Spokesman Corps. He's in a good mood tonight.
I wonder why.
He is in a good mood.
He made sure to put the cheerleaders over. He's like, man, it ain't like you're saying. I'm like, now I'm very curious. I mean, but you know what? Charles is out there living his best life. He's out there doing what he loves. And he's going to have a feature on Fox 9 tonight.
That's funny.
And, I mean, I got to admit, like, his laugh, so infectious. Like, I hear his laugh, and I can't help but laugh with it, you know. But, yeah, he knows.
It's funny.
He knows.
All right.
He knows the game.
All right, 651-461-9226. We have a word on the street. That's next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, man. Let's dive into Word on the Street. What you got for us tonight, CT? This is your final night here this week.
It is, yeah. Maybe I need
to be hanging out with the kid tomorrow.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Maybe you need to take her down to Tuscaloosa.
I'm going to say, no, no, it sounds like Tuscaloosa. That's not a family trip. And so, Charles Holman, you need somebody to split that room with, you know? Hey, kind of a story I kind of wanted to, a little bit longer here, Henry, but I wanted to get your thoughts on it. Because this could ultimately end up being a very interesting scenario if it happens. Now, I talked about John Stewart a couple of days ago, cut his hand on The Daily Show when he was doing a skit about Doge.
That's right. Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Well, Elon Musk could be headed to The Daily Show to go toe-to-toe with John Stewart, the frequent outspoken critic of both the Trump administration and the billionaire's effort to slash government spending.
Oh, yes. This is must-see TV.
Yeah. Well, calls have been growing online for Musk and Stewart to face off on Comedy Central's flagship satirical news program ever since Stewart delivered a tirade of the Tesla and SpaceX CEO so impassioned he sliced his hand open. Not a gimmick, not a bit. That really happened. Stewart sustained the injury Monday while railing against the Department of Government Efficiency, the effort that Musk unofficially leads at the behest of President Donald Trump that has drastically been culling the federal workforce. Now, after the episode aired, Musk supporters began clamoring on social media, especially on X, which he owns, for the tech mogul to go on The Daily Show for a one-on-one conversation with Stewart. Musk appeared to accept the challenge, replying Tuesday to one user, "I will do it if the show airs unedited." Now, The Daily Show took notice, reposting the message Wednesday from its official account, accepting the terms, "We'd be delighted," read the response, and it tagged Musk. Now, Stewart's beef with Musk escalated on Monday when the comedian slammed the seemingly indiscriminate firing of hundreds of thousands of federal employees across multiple agencies, regardless of the importance of their jobs. During the segment, Stewart tallied up what he perceived as missed opportunities for Doge to make meaningful cuts without targeting workers. Near the end of the segment, Stewart pulled out the props, including a lamp and a white mug, to set up an office for himself to help Doge with cutting government waste. That's when, as he became frustrated, he smashed the mug onto his desk, slicing his hand. Though Stewart finished his monologue with his bleeding hand under his desk, he quipped, quote, "I'll be going to the hospital soon." Now Musk, who last week appeared at CPAC wielding a prop chainsaw to symbolize cutting waste, defended his efforts to reduce the federal workforce, most recently yesterday during Trump's first cabinet meeting in Washington, D.C.
Oh, man. That would be on CTV. Would it not be to actually see Elon Musk get destroyed?
John Stewart is a very good interviewer.
He's unbelievable.
And I absolutely would. I would like to see it. And if it's unedited, I think it should be unedited.
I would enjoy that. I don't think that's an issue for John Stewart.
No, I don't think that's an issue whatsoever. And I mean, let's be honest here. And, you know, all political acumen aside, either way, if you really want answers from somebody that's not a believer in the program, you need to have, we always talk about context. Context is king. Context is the baseline of every conversation we have in life.
Yep.
And if this can go unedited, you're going to see both sides completely with their point of view, not manipulated, not slanted, and let's really see.
That's a win for everybody.
It's a win for everybody because this is about the most transparent you can get, right? Like if you, it's not going to be, you know, on a friendly. If Elon Musk does this, mad respect to Elon Musk. Mad respect, because when people do something bad, they deserve.
You're not going to give him mad respect.
No. If he goes on and he does it, 100%, I will give Elon Musk a ton of credit for going into the lion's den.
Yeah,
as they
give
say,
him credit.
I will give him credit,
but you won't respect him anymore.
No, I will respect him for
going on the show.
For going on the show and living up to his word. Now, what happens from there? We'll have to wait and see. But I thought it was interesting. I thought it was very, very interesting. Hey, Monica Lewinsky is revisiting the events involving Bill Clinton that first put her in the media spotlight over 25 years ago, saying that the former president should have resigned from office at the time. Now, it's ironic that we're talking about whatever happened between the two of them on the Call Her Daddy podcast with host Alex Cooper. Lewinsky responded to a question on how she thought the matter should have been handled by the media. The White House, once the news broke that the former president had an affair with her when she was a White House intern. Quote, I think that the right way to handle a situation like that would have been to probably say it was nobody's business and to resign. That's what Lewinsky told Cooper. Or to find a way of staying in office that was not lying and not throwing a young person who's just starting out in the world under the bus. Now, in a clip of the latest episode of Call Her Daddy, Lewinsky told Cooper that she believes other young women suffered because of the treatment she endured at the time of the political scandal.
I don't have an issue with what Monica Lewinsky said, because somebody earlier said, gosh, that happened so long ago. Who cares that it happened a long time ago? She has every right to talk about it. So what if it's 25 years? I don't care if it's 50 years later. Mm-hmm. She's sitting down. She's doing an interview. She's talking about her life. There's nothing wrong with that. Now,
I
would disagree with the first part of her statement where she said that I think that the right way to handle a situation like that would have been to probably say it was nobody's business and to resign. There's no way that you resign without talking about why you're resigning. Like, that's not being realistic.
Yeah.
How do you resign from being the president and you not talk about it? Like, that's so outside of that, I have no issue with what she said.
No, I don't think the resignation is something that needed to be addressed. But to say it's nobody's business, I understand it's a private matter. But you're also the president of the United States. The thing is, was it immoral? Yes. Was it illegal? No. Difference between illegal and immoral.
Yeah, I get that, but
you know, it wasn't right.
No, it wasn't right.
Made for a hell of a soundbite, though. We did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did. Hey, Sarah Michelle Gellar has poured her heart out in a gut-wrenching tribute to her Buffy the Vampire Slayer co-star Michelle Trachtenberg after Michelle's shocking death. I don't know if you heard about this, Lake, but she passed away at the age of 39 years old.
Yeah.
Now, the actress posted a series of photos from them together, both on and off set, with the caption, Michelle, listen to me. Listen, I love you. I will always love you. The hardest thing in this world is to live in it. I will be brave. I will live for you. Now, anybody like a Gen Xer like me will instantly recognize the meaning of her caption because Trachtenberg played Buffy's little sister, Dawn Summers, and in the season 5 finale, Geller's Buffy sacrificed herself after saying, Dawn, the hardest thing in the world is to live in it. Be brave. Live for me. Now, no doubt it's the most emotional tribute to Michelle, showing the close sisterly bond they had, not just on set, but in real life, too. Michelle was found lifeless by her mom Wednesday morning in bed at her New York City apartment. Her death comes just months after her liver transplant, with sources confirming it led to liver and thyroid complications. Her body may have rejected the transplant, possibly leading to her death.
Yeah, that's sad, dude. That's sad. That's super sad.
39 years old, you need a liver, what should be a routine surgery.
Well,
I mean, with
liver transplants those are routine?
Well, I'm not saying routine in the sense, I'm just saying that you hear about all of these transplants that end up being fine.
Yeah, but out of all of the body parts that get transplants, kidneys are the ones that happen the most.
Yes.
A liver is not something that always happens. I'm not saying a liver is harder than a heart. Because the heart transplants are really hard to do.
Yeah.
But, like,
you've got to have a lot of things.
Man, your body has to take it, and it's got to. Yeah, that's not a given, bro.
Yeah. Well, my stepdad had the first kidney transplant that he had didn't take, and he had to have a second one. And fortunately, it did take the second time. But I guess you don't hear about, I guess what I'm saying is we don't hear about complications. We don't hear about situations like this. Deaths from transplants, especially with individuals that are so young.
Yeah.
39 years old.
And they become more common, but liver transplants now are becoming a little bit more common. Mm. But, man, it's still further behind some of the other body parts that are – well, kidney is the most common.
Yeah, I think kidney is the most common.
I think, I think that liver transplants might be the third most common.
Okay. Yeah, and admittedly, I don't know the order of them, but I guess when I hear about it, I'm like, man, a 39-year-old woman who the liver transplant didn't take, it scares you when you hear about it.
Yeah.
39.
Yeah, sad. All right, that's going to wrap up Word on the Street. Coming up next, the weather and a concern that all of you should have when your opinion is silenced. Opinions matter. Everybody has an opportunity to express their opinion. That's the American way. And I think that everybody should get an opportunity to talk about their opinion, say what they want to get off their chest. Whether you like it, love it, hate it, agree, disagree. Be able to do that. Which is different than some people that, you know, they want to get disrespectful with you. Then you have a comeback to them, and then they want to keep it going and all that, whatever. And then, you know, lately I've been better with the block. I've been Dikembe Mutombo since the start of the new year.
Man, you
blocking
just...
people. I blocked three people now on the text line.
I know.
I'm not playing those games in 2025. I'll let you have a word or two, but we're not going to do this all night. I'm just going to go ahead and block you. And when I block you, I'm blocking you for all the shows.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic that you're talking about this. Just
and I've never been a blocker.
No, you have let things go, and to me,
it's a new me.
It's a new year, new you.
Exactly. My block hand is strong. I'm gonna make sure start blocking you people that think that we're the we're a toilet here and we're gonna take all your stuff. We're not gonna do that.
Yeah.
I'm not your punching bag. That's just not how this operates. But with regards to an opinion, state your opinion. We love people that call into the show. We love people that text the show, whether we agree or disagree. And in society, and when we think about the United States of America, and we talk about the freedom of utilizing your voice, that's important. It's something that Elon Musk talks about all the time, even though he's not American. He talks about the freedom of speech. Wink, wink. But we know that people...
Yeah, freedom's subjective.
They talk a good one, but they're not really about it. And Jeff Bezos, he now enters the conversation. Jeff Bezos, of Amazon fame, of multi-billionaire fame, of I own the Washington Post fame, he emailed staffers on Wednesday about a change that he has applied to the paper's opinion section. Opinion section. And this is what he stated. I'm writing to let you know about a change coming to our opinion pages. We're going to be writing every day in support and defense of two pillars: personal liberties and free markets. We'll cover other topics too, of course, but viewpoints opposing those pillars will be left to be published by others. There was a time when a newspaper, especially one that was a local monopoly, might have seen it as a service to bring to the reader's doorstep every morning a broad-based opinion section that sought to cover all views. Today, the internet does that job. So essentially, what Jeff Bezos has said to the world is that now that he is the owner of the Washington Post, if the opinion is one that I oppose and don't like, it will not be published. It will not. The broad-based opinion section, which means everybody that sought to cover all views, that is no longer a thing. How disgusting do you have to be to go down this road with the Washington Post? Jeff Bezos is not embarrassed by it because he doesn't give a damn about it. He doesn't care about diversity in opinions or views. He wants to stifle people's ability to write their certain opinions.
I am surprised that he put it out there, because sometimes they kind of sugarcoat and they kind of talk around, you know, why we really did it. And he said it right here. I'm letting you know that a change coming to our opinion pages. We are going to be writing every day in support and defense of two pillars. Personally, it's da-da-da-da-da.
Yep.
Viewpoints opposing those pillars will be left to be published by others. It is transparent as can be. And I mean, this is on the heels of, you know, they blocked the board from publishing an endorsement for Kamala Harris before the presidential election.
Yep.
And he defended the Post decision in January not to publish a cartoon by a Pulitzer Prize winner that depicted Bezos and other billionaire media company owners kneeling at the feet of a giant figure of Donald Trump.
And they quit.
And they quit. I mean, just understand, you absolutely have the right to do whatever you want with what you own. Do whatever you want. You know, you could, you know, make it the next Breitbart, whatever you say, you know, whatever. But just know that there's going to be blowback. And if you don't care about the blowback and whatever, I mean, you may get a surge in subscribers, you may lose subscribers. I don't think it's really that big of a concern for Jeff Bezos.
I don't. You hit it right on the head. I don't think he really cares that much. He's so rich.
No.
He's got so much money. He doesn't view it like that. He doesn't care. It's a toy to him.
I feel like this is something that is placating Donald Trump at the same time.
For sure.
It's to show, hey.
And he doesn't really care about it. But, you know, the interesting thing about this is the opinions editor said, I can't do this, dude. Either he was – because it's not clear if he was – on the verge of being fired, if he was going to be fired, or if he just walked away and resigned. But David Shipley says, I'm done here.
Deuces.
This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous.
And I think this is one that, again, yeah, it's a toy. This is nothing more, in my opinion. If you look at the inauguration and you kind of look at what they call the legacy media, the mainstream media, if you will, that are all, you know, kind of steering towards Donald Trump because otherwise you're not going to get access. And Donald Trump is essentially saying, if you are not right leaning, you are not going to get access. If you do not do everything that I want,
opinion is one that opposes mine, you're not getting published.
The Associated Press. And by the way, the Associated Press is beholden to the entire world, not just the United States, and they won't call it the Gulf of America. Well, when you are beholden to the entire world, you can't do that. Like, it doesn't make sense. But you've got these, and it's all about showing that I'm on your side. That's how I take this, just to see that, hey, I'm on your side, and I'm not surprised. But to be this transparent, just know that, I mean, yeah, he doesn't care. This is nothing more than a toy to him, like you said. It's all about, to me, it's about perception. It's all about perception. And that's fine. If that's what he wants to do, if he doesn't care about the fallout, gut it and do what you want. Just know that, you know, it might not be the most popular thing, but if you don't care and you got an audience of one, then do what you want.
Yeah. It just... Oh, he can't even hide it, man. And he didn't hide it.
He did. He put it right out there.
He put it right out there for the world to see.
Yes. And I mean, this isn't surprising at all. That's why
it's a little bit surprising.
Really?
It's a little bit surprising in that I didn't think that we would see this. I didn't think that he would care that much about bending the knee.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm not surprised whatsoever.
No. I'm not talking about caring about bending the knee like that he would or wouldn't. I'm talking about caring enough to actually put this out there that he would put pen to paper or have this be published and let the world know what the game is.
Oh, basically saying that if you don't believe in the personal liberties and free markets, isn't the whole point of personal liberties and free markets to have diverse opinion? I mean, isn't that a liberty and a free market?
If he's essentially saying that you can just get this from the internet anyway,
uh-huh.
Then why the hell you buy the Washington Post?
Yeah,
why did you want to be a part of any of this then?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, everybody can get anything from the internet nowadays. Yeah, everybody's got an opinion. It's cool, but yeah, to put it out there, this might just be, maybe this is him also saying, hey, this is our identity. If you're ever wondering, because too, I feel like we're in a situation where we talked about CNN not having an identity right now. MSNBC. I don't know what their identity is with all of the changes that they're making. You know, Rachel Maddow can say what she wants, but I don't know what some of these companies stand for outside of Fox, outside of, you know, I will say one thing, the right wing, the right leaning media have done a great job of defining themselves. Even if you don't agree with it, they've done a real good job of identifying themselves, defining themselves. Maybe this is his way of saying, this is what the Washington Post is going to be. If you don't like it, you've got other options. But if you're buying what we're selling, this is the place for you. That could also be a point.
Now, the texter from the 320 says everything you're saying about Jeff Bezos. It's talk to text because it says just, but I know I get what you're saying, texter. Mm-hmm. It's Jeff. And Washington Post has been going on for decades. Only was the left being supported by the media. The left views were the only one carried by the mainstream media. And now this happening the other way. Now the media says, oh, we have a problem. And it's just the same, only the opposite. I would disagree with that. Are we sitting here actually saying that, however you want to identify, let's go with what they're saying, left-leaning media, which was left-leaning media. So wait, media in the 80s and 90s, was that left-leaning? Are we categorizing that, or are we just categorizing that as media? See, I think we do this too much where we go right-left with regards to media.
I agree with that, and that's become part of the problem.
I think that when we identify Fox News or News Nation,
Newsmax,
and then we look at the opposite side of that, because mm-hmm. I don't really look at CNN as left. I guess you could say it's more left than center, but you know when you see Scott Jennings and those guys on there, whatever. There's mm-hmm. so my point is this:
they're trying to become more moderate.
I disagree. If you want to say that there was a variety of opinions and views in media years ago between both, I would agree with that. But you can't realistically say that it's totally flipped and it used to be more about the left and now the right's somehow got some sort of, like, that's not true at all. You cannot tell me that you don't see people on the right that go on MSNBC mm-hmm. or you don't see people on the right that are regulars on CNN.
Everybody kind of stays in their own safe space, which
I don't think that what we're seeing now, we saw 30 years ago. I don't believe that.
I feel like it's more extreme and it's more pronounced. But again, I will give the Fox News outlets and you know, I'll give them credit because they've done a remarkable job of cultivating their brand. And then when we
call out and say, "Well, what about this, this and this and this with Fox?" Then what does Fox say? We're not actual news.
We're entertainment.
We're just entertainment.
Yeah, and that
How would you respond to that, texter?
It's entertainment when you don't have to have the liability for the Dominion suit. And I would say I think that the Mark Levine, the Rush Limbaughs, I feel like that, again, they started kind of the wave of the right-wing identity politics. And even if I don't agree with it, I mean, I give them a ton of credit for doing what they did in terms of, like, building the foundation for what that is now. Because they're very influential in it, and that's part of where we're at. That's part of where we're at here. I'm not saying it's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm just saying the right wing right now, the Republicans, have done a much better job of identifying their outlets, defining their outlets right now than the Democrats have.
And the other thing about this is, with respect to the texter, and I hope they don't take this the wrong way, when you have outlets that flat out lie, and they admit that there's propaganda in things that they say, don't give me the both sides. Don't give me the both sides argument, because it doesn't work well. Final segment of The Lake Show coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
The last texter says NBC News is famous for saying Trump said something without evidence, yet NBC never shows any contrary evidence. To that texter, I said, give me the example. Be specific. Give me the example. Be specific. Don't just text me that. Give me what NBC said he said, and they got nothing. Because, texter, you know, and I know, and the world knows that Donald Trump is a liar. You might not like it, because I don't like that he lies. He lies on camera, and then he got caught in a lie earlier today about the dictator thing in Zelensky. And then he turned to the people that were in the room. He says, "Did I say that?
That doesn't sound like me.
That doesn't sound like me." He lies every single day. He lies every single day. He cites things. They're saying this, the polls, and he gives numbers that are 100% false. So give me the example. I want you to be specific, because we're not going to play that game.
If something can be fact-checked, and I just don't understand the rationale for defending something when it can be, proven false. I guess that's my question. When things can be proven false.
This person's so far out in the weeds and the Russian collusion was true. Have you done your research? I don't know what channels you're watching with regards to Russia and our elections, but you might want to do some fact checking. As a matter of fact, one of the latest things that came up, because this person, I get it, man. You don't want to believe that your guy Trump is a liar and that he's problematic for our country. I get it. You don't want to believe it. But not wanting to believe it is something else. Earlier, where was this at?
When they just cited information
just
wars?
Earlier today, it was brought up that a key witness that was a part of the impeachment earlier states that Donald Trump might be compromised by Russia. That's his own DNI in his first administration. Dan Coats says he thinks that Putin is blackmailing Trump. That's his own guy. So what are you talking about, Texter? Come on, man.
And I believe the texter just cited information wars. Not sure. I know it's kind of broken up on me here, so.
I don't know. Take a deep breath. You get off tomorrow.
I know. We got 10 seconds.
I have to be right back at it.
Oh, sucks to be you. I'll be playing Mario Kart and pizza.
I'll be here at 6 with a couple of in-studio special guests. Talk to you guys tomorrow.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.